That kind of went along with your message, my brother. He wants glorified. He wants priority. Somebody say amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter number 10 tonight. And we're going to read a little bit. And I want you to stand with your Bibles open to Daniel chapter number 10. And I want to read the whole chapter. Got your Bibles open? Go to Daniel 10. Michelle, where's Michelle? You're getting baptized? Who's going to?
Pastor
Tyler's going to come. But 10 after, I want you to get ready to go up and somebody make sure they get her where she needs to be. All right? Chad, you're in charge of that.
Yes,
Daniel chapter number 10. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Man, oh man. Y'all with me? And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of upas. His body, glory to God, also was like the burrow, and his face as the appearance of the lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass.
Amen.
Woo! And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Whew. Y'all reading this with me? And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Y'all getting the picture? And he said unto me, O Daniel, and I really want you to notice the rest of this. This really, I want you to see this. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. Now notice this. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. Now notice the rest of this. I've got a theme tonight, and I want you to stay with it and really pay attention to these verses. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand that what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb or mute. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Well, how can the servant of this Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Whew. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am going forth, the prince of the Grecians shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these sayings but Michael, your prince. It's a lot of reading. I hope you got it all. Our Father, we ask you to help us. Lord, as we dissect this portion of scripture, and we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now, there's a lot to preach on tonight, and here's my title tonight. I want to give you the title, The Incredible Realities of Spiritual Warfare. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a battle. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved and know God, you are in a battle. Now, there's a prime minister of the Netherlands who also was a theologian, made this statement about this passage of scripture. If once this curtain were pulled back, or you and I were able, with the curtain pulled back, and the spiritual world behind it came to view, it would expose our spiritual vision, a struggle so intense, so convulsive, sweeping everything within its range, that the fiercest battle ever fought on earth would seem in comparison just a mere game. And I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. If you and I could see what was going on, yes, out beyond us in the spiritual realm, it would shake us as it did Daniel. We're in a warfare.
Amen.
And he is going to show us the battle between angels and demons. And I don't want to over-glorify tonight, and I don't want to make it bigger than it might be, but I don't want you to ignore the fact that there is a battle in the unseen world. And by the way, you're the one that's being bad. You are in a battle, and you are in the crosshairs of every demon, every heathen out there. When I got to confess to you, I came under real conviction when I read this chapter. And here's the conviction I came under. I believe that we ought to pray more.
Yes. Amen.
We ought to pray more with passion and with earnestness. And I want to give you this. I wrote this down in my notes. Our prayers provide spiritual reinforcement for the battle that takes place against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. How many of y'all believe, like I believe, our prayers are our weapons where we can have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe on prayer meeting night, we need to take prayer more seriously. I ask you, do you get along with God? Is your prayer life real? Let me ask you this. Maybe this is a better question. And I'm going to bog down if I don't watch it. How many in this room, in the area of prayer, you have a struggle? Come on, don't lie.
Yeah, buddy.
Now ask yourself this question. Why? Why? Why do we struggle so much in prayer? Because prayer is the key for us to overcome the devil. And where we unlock the power of God for our lives. And there is a spiritual warfare. How many's ever tried to pray? You started praying, got tired, and almost went to sleep.
Amen.
We all have. You say, I wonder why I get like that. Because the devil knows he's defeated if our prayers get up. And he will fight you every step of the way. Whew, good preaching, Reverend. Now, let me give you four things. And I'm going to try not to get too deep in this, but there is some depth to it. Point number one, let me show you. Spiritual warfare involves divine action. Look at verse number one. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Now, will you make a note in your Bible? Now, in the third year of Cyrus, the king, actually that was 2 years after the vision of chapter 9 of the 70th week. Now, it's very helpful to remember, if you read Daniel 9 and you read about Darius the Mede, Chad, and then you read Daniel 10 about Cyrus the king of Persia, I want all y'all to know that probably is the same person. Darius the Mede is probably the dynastic title, while Cyrus was his proper name. Now, I want you to notice two things here. First of all, God reveals his word. How many of y'all glad God reveals his word? Now, I want to say this to you. You know, I think sometimes we don't study the Bible enough because we just feel like we can't ever understand it. I want you all to know that God reveals his word to you. Now, somebody say amen. Somebody asked me, said, where'd you get your knowledge of the Bible from? From a God that reveals his word to me. And by the way, I have the Holy Ghost in me that helps me understand it. Y'all with me? God reveals his word. That's divine sovereignty. You know, somebody ought to shout right here. How many of y'all? Come on. I'm going to bog down just a little bit. How many? I know you read your Bible. Because when I walk in your office, most of the time when I walk in his office, he's reading his Bible. That's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
By the way, the best thing you do is have your Bible available about all the time so you can read it. Isn't it wonderful that God in his Bible reveals his word to you?
Amen.
7.4 billion people in the world, and God chooses sovereignly to speak to his children?
Amen.
And he does it through his word? That's divine sovereignty.
Amen.
A God who really doesn't have to say anything to me, really can ignore me for the ages, but loves me and cares for me and reveals his book to me. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, not only do I see that God reveals his word, that's divine sovereignty. And by the way, there's a great conflict here as he revealed his word. It was a long time coming if you read in the middle part, but the time appointed was long. It was a struggle, a spiritual warfare. Anytime you're praying or anytime you're reading the Bible and anytime you're studying, there's a warfare. Because the devil don't want you in the Bible. The devil don't want you on your knees. Am I preaching? Then I see man seeks to understand. Look what it said in the last part of verse 1. And he understood the thing and had an understanding of the vision. See, God reveals his word. That's divine sovereignty. But man seeks to understand. That's human responsibility. Now, Chad, this may take 2 weeks. Listen, son. God's word comes to you. He's wanting to give it to you. But you got responsibility to read it. And you got human responsibility to understand it. Am I preaching? You say, well, you mean I got a part in this? Yeah, God's got a part to reveal it, and you got a part to understand it. And you say, well, I can't understand the Bible. You can if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to say this to you, and I don't want to overemphasize this. There's so many tools in Bible study today that God has arranged for us. There's no reason why any of us be ignorant of the Scripture. There's so many tools. I mean, I thank you for what you did for me a few months ago. I have a lot of Bible apps, but my favorite Bible app is the Blue Letter Bible. We were in the office today just talking and studying, and I went to the Bible app and I brought up a scripture. I brought that scripture up. And we went to the Bible app and I went through a couple commentaries, a couple dictionaries, a couple things, and we started looking at all that stuff, and the Holy Ghost started working in all that and started revealing. Somebody help me. You say, well, I'm so ignorant of the Bible. You don't have to be. See, God's sovereignty reveals it to you, but he also expects you by your human responsibility to understand it.
Yes, sir. God help.
And how do you understand it? Line upon line and precept upon precept. Lord have mercy, I'm enjoying this. See, God took the initiative to give Daniel the vision. Still, Daniel had to respond and understand the message. Now, look at verse number 12. Jump down just a minute. I want to just go ahead, a little ahead a little bit. Verse 12 informs us something. Look here. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst seek or set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. He said, Daniel, you mourned for 21 days. And I'll get more into this in a moment. But verse 12 informs him that understanding came to the result of Daniel, who steadfastly, passionately, humbly asked God for wisdom. He said, I need wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I wrote this down and I put a lot of yellow beside of what I'm about ready to say. By the way, I'll paraphrase this. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I am glad that I got a God that is not silent. And I'm so thankful that I serve and worship a talking God.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout.
Amen.
He speaks to us. You say, well, I ain't heard him. I ain't heard him. Well, you ain't heard him. You ain't been in this.
Amen.
Hey, Jeff. Want to hear him? It's a travesty. And how little Bible reading we do. It's a travesty on how little we're in the Word of God. We want to hear from God. We don't even read the Bible. We want to know how to win in the warfare. We don't even try to read the Bible. How can you understand if you don't read? All right, let's go on. I'm going to get behind if I don't. I already am behind. Number two, I want you to notice this. In verse 2, verse 3, and verse 12, again. Spiritual warfare received reinforcements by prayer and by fasting. Look, verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, Ted, I don't know if he was 24/7, but he fasted for 21 days. Now, you say, how could he do that? Now, I believe he drank water, but he didn't drink no wine. He didn't drink no grape juice. No. He didn't even anoint himself with oil. No. He was humble before God. Let me ask you something. Not only about your Bible reading, can I ask you something about your prayer life? Chapter 2 of Daniel says he prayed and he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In chapter 6, he prayed 3 times a day and was cast into a den of lions. Chapter 8, 15, he understood another vision by prayer. Chapter 9, he prayed with confession and intercession for God's people. And then in chapter 10, he prays again. How often do you pray? We're in a warfare. And I know I'm talking about stuff and that ought to be every day with us. And it's not. It's just not. Let me ask you. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I just want to ask you a question. How long did you read your Bible today? And how much time have you spent in prayer? But you say, I want to win the spiritual battle. I want the devil defeated. I want to live for God. Listen to this. This is sad. I'll give you a statistic. They did a survey of 10,000 Christians across the country, probably different denominations, and asked them how long they pray today. And when they put all the facts in the computer of those 10,000 people surveyed, the average prayer life of those 10,000 people were 3 minutes. And then they put 10,000 preachers, different groups, through the same computer on how much they pray. And when they were honest and come clean, the average prayer life of a preacher was 7 minutes. And we want to know why the devil's running wild. And we want to know why he's defeating so many Christians. And we want to know why there's so many people being succumbed in spiritual warfare. It's because they're in the absence of Bible study and prayer. Am I preaching? Stay with me. Verse 2 and 3, first of all, I see God sees our mourning over sin. You know what? It'd be good for all of us that we would mourn. The Bible said in those days, in verse 4, in those days, in those days, in verse 3 and 4, David, or 2, 3, and 4, David was mourning 3-4 weeks. He mourned over sin. I believe if we start mourning over sin, we wouldn't be practicing sin so much. In our Christian walk today, this scares me. I'm going to tell you where we're living. We're not, get up a moment. Here's where we're not living. We ought to try to get as close to God as we can to stand it. You know what we're doing? We're trying to get as far away from him and see how much we can get away with. I want to tell you what our sin. Hey, by the way, I'm not necessarily talking about you smoking dope or drinking. How about your gossip? How about your attitude? How about your actions? Somebody help me preach. We ought to mourn for our stinking rotten attitude sometimes. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, wow, you got such a dumb ass, stinking rotten attitude. We got a God that lives. We're on the winning side. The devil's going to hell. We're going to heaven. We ought to be the brightest, most positive people in the world because of what we got in God. Am I preaching? In verse 12, God hears our prayers when they come from a humble heart. You preached, there's too much I involved. We ought to humble ourselves. How many believe if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face? He said, I will turn, I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. You said, how can my marriage be healed? How can my life be healed? How can my kids be healed? By humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. We're just too proud. You know, you said it right. A little 130-pound preacher did good tonight. My feet weigh 130 pounds. But sometimes I think we want to be seen instead of humbling ourselves and realizing how wicked we really are and how much we need God. Y'all all with me? I'm going to try to hurry. Okay, I got time. Let me give you a couple quotes about prayer. We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get involved in his plan for the answer. If we're true intercessors, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people whom we pray. I like this quote. Almost everyone believes that prayer is important. How many of y'all believe it's important? Let me go a little further. All about everybody believes prayer is important. But how many of us believe prayer is essential? Amen. Essential means there are things that will not happen without prayer. You want to know the will of God. You want to see the face of God. You want to know the hand of God. You got to do it through prayer. All right, let's go to number three real quick, Allison. Y'all still with me? Look down at your Bible, verses 4 through 17. I'll give you the third point. Boy, this is what gets juicy and fun. A lot of stuff here. There's a lot of stuff coming right now that Daniel got revealed. Daniel seen. It shook him up. Shook him up. I started to preach on all shook up tonight. Number three. Spiritual warfare can be overwhelming in its realities. If you really realize how much the devil fights, you know God blesses this place. I want y'all to know Taze Valley Baptist Church is a blessed church. But make no, hey, I ain't making no bones about it. The devil fights our ministry. If you're saved trying to live for God, he's fighting you. That's a fact. Yes, sir, you're right. And sometimes it'll be overwhelming. I read a book, Chad, called Territorial Spirits. You ever heard of it? And what it was talking about, demons and angels being assigned particular regions, governments, and institutions. Daniel 10 makes it clear. Let me give you three or four statements. Number one, that angels and demons exist. How many of y'all believe that? Number two, angels and demons engage one another in spiritual combat. Number three, certain demons and probably certain angels are given particular geographic and governmental assignments. The prince of the powers of the airs. And I want you to hear this. Our prayers, in some genuine measure, enter into the effect of the battles being fought. And in Daniel's prayer, it entered into the battle. Now I want you to notice, in verses 4 through 9, the glory of God can also sometimes drain us. How many of you really ever got where you felt like God was really ministered to you? I'm talking about in your prayer and in your Bible study or in worship. I want to tell you what, there's been some times I've preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I got done, I felt like somebody took a wash rag and drained every bit of the life out of me. Amen. If you ever really get into the presence of Almighty God, it will drain you. Let me. I want you to notice what happens. I may not get done because it's already 8:06. And we're getting ready to baptize Michelle just a moment. Look with me, if you would, down verse number 5 and show you what Daniel saw. And I want y'all to tell me what you think he saw in verse 5 and 6. Now you tell me, and then I'll give you a little help in a minute. He said in verse 4, in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girt with fine gold of upaz. His body was like unto beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like a color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like a voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. And then verse 8, he said, I was left alone. And then verse 8, he said, I had no strength left in me. And verse number 9, he said, I fell in a deep sleep. Now let me ask you a question. What in the world was that? And who in the world was that? Come on now. All right, let me read you another passage. I believe you got it. Can I read you another passage? Turn to Revelation 1. Get your Bible. Go over there. Come on now. Let's worship the Lord. Let's get in the Bible and study. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. This is Revelation 1. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were what? As a flame of fire. And his feet were what? Come on. Like fine brass. And his voice as the sound of what? In verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell dead at his feet. Kind of similar? How many say similar? I want you to know something. You want Daniel saw in Daniel 10? In his worship and prayer? He saw what I call a Christ offity. That is a pre-appearance of Jesus Christ. You said, but Jesus didn't start until Matthew. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to know he's an everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whew, I'm getting low. Hear me. Daniel saw the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. It is wonderful. But exhausting. And by the way, I'm ready for you to get ready to go get baptized. Somebody help her get to the right place. You go ahead, Chad. And
I don't know where Tyler is, but you get her ready. Whew. I'll tell you, it's something when God reveals himself to us. Somebody say amen right there. Now, let's go on to verse number. Whew, man, oh man. Let's go, Lord. I know some of you are thinking, you mean Jesus appeared before Bethlehem? I believe, we're teaching tonight, aren't we? I believe he was one of the three angels that appeared to Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah was in the tent laughing, and one of those angels was particular, and I believe he's been known as the angel of the Lord. Even Paul said, I saw the angel of the Lord, who I am and who I serve. Whoa. Yeah, it's good stuff. Make a Baptist shout. Look at verse number 10 through 17. Spiritual conflict can take your breath away. Whew. And behold, an hand touched me. Now hold a minute. I want all y'all to know something. This hand that touched him is not Christ. It's another angel. Now, I'm going to tell you who I think it is, and you can write it down. I think it probably is Gabriel, but I can't prove that. But Gabriel's mentioned in the chapters just prior to this. Now, we will be introduced, and by the way, the law of first mention to an angel here in a moment, who's the first prince. The prince of angels. But look at verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words which I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. I like this. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now stay with me. Now I want y'all to see spiritual warfare here. Are y'all with me? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, I believe that's a demon, withstood me 120 days. Let's get it. Joe, this is awesome. Daniel prayed, Jeff. Daniel prayed. God heard him the first day he prayed. Right? Am I right? But I'm going to tell you what happened. The angel was coming with the answer. Now you said, well, does that still happen? I think so, but whew, that's why the Bible says we entertain angels unaware. Good Lord, I'm about to preach. Now, hold a minute. Do you know that this one angel had a tough time getting there?
Yeah, he did.
And the prince of Persia, that demon, withstood him.
Yeah.
Stopped him for a while. Give me five right there. Until who came? Michael, law first mentioned right here. Now you say, who's Michael?
Yeah.
Michael is the archangel. Now I don't want to upset anybody here, but he's the only archangel that's called an archangel.
That's right.
And you know when the Bible said the Lord himself would descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, that archangel is not Gabriel. That's Michael. And Michael must have been a supreme angel because whoo, he came down and interceded for the other angel and got the prayer answered to Daniel. Now, hold on a minute. I need to stop here a minute. If that's true and it is, then, you know, sometimes we whine. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. I'm guilty. I get down to pray. And I say, and I feel like I'm in the will of God. You ever pray and you feel like you were totally in the will of God? And I prayed. Ain't nothing happened.
That's right.
You ever done it?
Yeah.
And you feel like you're in the will of God. You feel like you were close to God. And you know what I do myself sometimes? I say, well, something must be wrong with me. That's what I say. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Because you know what might be happening? There's a demonic horde trying to stop your prayers from getting through. I'm trying to tell you, you're in a warfare. I wish I could get this across to you. We get so defeated in our prayer life, and maybe, maybe, just maybe, we're right on target. It's just going to take a while to get here.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's just... man, it's getting late. Listen to me. You're praying for the will of God in your life. Let's just say you're praying for the will of God for your life.
Yes.
Okay? You want it, don't you?
Oh, amen.
How important is it?
Real important.
Well, if it's important, then the devil knows that's important too.
Oh, yeah.
So what's he going to do? Right. Fight it coming.
Yes. That's right.
But I want you to know you hold on in prayer.
Amen.
Because God's coming on the scene.
Amen.
Well, I got to stop. Raise that thing, let's baptize.